Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Whether or not the hospital has room for you is a complicated question. And since the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, testing percentages, contact tracing, and hospital capacity have all been keys to saving lives in South Dakota. So what does it mean when dozens of patients are diverted to other healthcare facilities? SDPB's Kevin Wooster looks into the issue in the Black Hills, and you can find his work online at sdpb.org/Wooster. Hey, Kevin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Oh, always good to be back, Laura, even when we're talking about a pretty serious subject, huh?
It is a serious subject, and it feels like we are just in the middle of, or at the beginning of, I don't know where we're at in this, but there's a lot of anxiety, and there's a lot of new cases day after day. How is the health of you and your family after spending some time in isolation?
Well, you know, we went through the two-week isolation period, and I think seven of the extended family members who were in contact got COVID, and they're all doing well, young, much younger than Mary and I. But still, for a couple, especially a 40-year-old, roughly, a healthy adult male, it's been a hard go, and still not right, still sleeping a lot and aching a lot. And, so it can be mild and non-existent. And even for a healthy 40-something, it can kind of knock the legs out from under you. So
right.
It's nothing to be messed with.
So this brings up the question
of
wondering, you know, when you need extra care, if the hospital has room for you, and you did some checking on this. Tell me a little bit about how this came together.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, as often happens, where you're following a news story and you think, wow, that's interesting. And the story that I saw was one that probably lots of people saw on the AP, and saw a couple of COVID patients off the Cheyenne River Reservation, and their very small health facility out there were referred or diverted to a hospital in Minnesota instead of one here. And I thought, why would that happen when we see all the time that we have capacity here for patients in the, you know, in the big three systems, Sanford, Avera, and Monument, particularly. And it just so happens that I had already done a Facebook thing earlier, kind of complaining about the Monument call-in system to schedule COVID tests or see if you could get tested and how jammed up that was. And so I had already been contacted by Dan Daly, a former Journal reporter who I sat with and knew very well during our Journal years together, who is now with Monument. And he got me together with Dr. Stephanie Kalar, and she helped me on that system. And so he said, I got another doctor for you, when I raised the issue with him. And he sent me to Brad Archer, the chief medical officer, on the transfer and diversion system. And as you imagine, it seems simple, just like the call-in thing when we couldn't get through to schedule a COVID test. Seemed simple, and how is it not working better? But all things are almost always a lot more complicated than you think. And this is. I mean, that's kind of what we looked at.
So what's happening?
First of all, they had deferred, I guess, or transferred, didn't accept, and referred to another hospital about 12 patients from Cheyenne River from September through the end of last week. So you'd look at that, but he also pointed out that they had accepted 55 patients from Cheyenne River during that period of time. And we talked about, because, you know, of all the issues that people on the reservations have, health is such a dominant one to begin with before COVID. So we talked about Pine Ridge and Rosebud reservations during the same period, again, with IHS facilities that are struggling often and overwhelmed, especially in cases like this, and aren't able to provide some of the acute care that the larger systems can. And so he looked, and they had diverted 30 patients from Pine Ridge, not accepting them, but accepted 109, and had diverted 9 patients from Rosebud, but accepted 44. So obviously the vast majority of the requests they got to accept a patient for care at Monument were taken and agreed to, and others went elsewhere. And then, you know, it's complicated by proximity, how close are you, but also more than that, What are the available beds? What are the available staffing situations with nurse shortages and things like that going on? What kind of acute care might they need and what services are available? And basically, they have a transfer center that looks at all these and says, maybe this hospital would serve you better right now. And that's how they go through that difficult process of deciding whether to accept a referral or to divert it on to another hospital.
It seems to me, Kevin, and I think you can speak to both of these things as you, you know, with the reporting that you've done about what's happening in the hospital and those numbers. But then from a political standpoint, one of the things that is so frustrating to people is constantly hearing how much capacity we have, which is in dissonance with the number of people we might know personally who have been sent out of state for their care, and the healthcare professionals that we know personally who are saying, you know, I'm calling everywhere to try to find a place for this patient, or I'm a nurse and they're begging me to work extra shifts, or I'm a doctor and we can't keep up. And we're hearing these stories, and then we hear the official, statements and but you have to look at it like this, and people are frustrated. What do you make of that sort of dissonance between what we're seeing in our lives and what we sort of know to be true, and yet this official, like, everything is okay? I mean, that's part of what's causing just people to throw up their hands and say, is this not being taken seriously? Are we being told the truth? There's a lot of frustration in South Dakota right now.
Well, and I haven't talked to many of the providers over east, but just the ones I know here personally that serve me, and the people that I know that are providers, that are friends or acquaintances, and the ones I've interviewed, I feel fairly comfortable that if I had a need from COVID, and I want to point out the majority of these transfer patients we're talking about aren't COVID patients. I mean, they're patients that just happen, and some of them are happening now, as we've talked about, I think. Because people put off care because they're afraid of COVID, and things got worse. So that when they went in, they were in a more acute situation. So that there were COVID patients in these transfer diversion issues, but not all of them. In fact, probably the majority were not. So there's just a lot of things going on. And just because you have a ventilator ready or an acute care bed ready doesn't mean at that day you can staff it fully, or you can, what if in a system you've got some people sick with COVID, with other diseases, now we're moving into the flu system, so your staffing situation is down a little bit anyway, so maybe you have the beds or the availability, but you don't have the staff right at that time. And it sounds to me like a call on Thursday could be a different than a call on Monday. And it's complicated. And while, yes, I think overall people would tell you that we're okay on beds, it's an okay with an asterisk a lot of time. And for the reasons you just named and what we're talking about.
Yeah. And same thing with the testing. When you talked about Mary's test, calling and waiting for a half an hour, she's pretty determined person, and even she got frustrated with the system there. Yeah. How many people, when we look at, the percentage of positives that we have being fairly dismal right now, how many people are not even getting the tests because they don't want to wait, or they don't feel well enough to wait in a 3-hour line to get that test? We just have a minute left, but let's talk about testing capacity in that minute. Do we see systems making the adjustment that's needed to meet that increased demand?
Well, I as I pointed out, nurse shortage, you've got a triage nurse that does a lot of things, including counseling patients and maybe referring them to a doctor. So the monument change that they made this week, which I think is a really good idea, to provide a more automated testing process for people that just want to test. You don't need to talk to a nurse to get advice on things. I think that'll help a lot. But, you talk about increases. They were staffed for 250 calls a day during the week, and suddenly they're getting 500 to 600 after the rally and after school started and after people go back to work. It's not the last time we're going to be writing this story and talking about this. It's a crunch is coming. It's not over.
Right. Well, Kevin Wooster, thanks for isolating and keeping yourself out of the fray. We're glad that you're here. And people can find your work at sdpb.org/Wooster, and we'll be talking about this in the days ahead. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, Laura.